So I'm going to continue with what we've been talking about in the Old Covenant, or the first covenant that God made at Mount Sinai. It's referred to the first covenant. And we're going to continue also comparing, doing some contrasting between the old and the new. I'm going to talk about what is old and what is new. And in this process, I've titled the message, Be a New Creation in Christ. Be, because that's what we've been called to be, as a new creation in Christ. A lot of people get mixed up with this scripture, a number of scriptures, 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm going to read. As I'd given you some scriptures a couple of messages ago, where people get the scriptures twisted. And I read to you the scripture where Peter says, you know, that people will twist the scriptures to their own destruction. And you don't see commentators addressing that scripture to be aware of other individuals who twist God's word. But in 2 Corinthians 5:17, so we get people say, well, the old is no longer valid. But yeah, we'll keep 9 of the 10 commandments. They do not want to admit in keeping, they don't remember the Sabbath. God says, remember the Sabbath, but they forgot. They forget. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. They believe that. They believe that they need to be keeping, you know, some of the laws. But in the Old Testament, they believe if one of the laws is done away with, then all of it is done away with. We've talked about that. They do believe that they need to change their nature. And brethren, what we're going through is to look at the scriptures. We've gone through these since I was a kid. But I think it's important for us to look at these scriptures, to know them, because Christ said when he returns, you know, when he returns, he says, is he really going to find faith? Faith in him. People repenting, fully surrendering to him. And it even says in the end time that the very elect could be deceived, as we see all kinds of miracles being performed by demons as well as God. But anyway, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, well, then he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So people say, no, that old covenant, it's done away with. But here we see Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, those who've been called, they died to the old man, the old woman, fully surrendering to God in repentance. When they sin, striving to do what is right with a relationship with each other and a relationship with God under his laws. In other words, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. In other words, they're becoming Christ-like. Old things, it says here, which is meaning our old morals, of how we lived, which we should not be practicing anymore, should be hating sin. Those have passed away, Paul is saying. Behold, all things, our whole being, who we are, have become new. New. A better person through the forgiveness of sin. A new person than what we've been before being called. So let's continue in addressing the law of God and what is old and what is new. We're going to look at one area today, as there are many things in the Old Covenant that no longer apply. But what are those things? Has God's law been done away with? No, it's existed from the beginning. It's existed with Abraham, even though he did not keep the rituals that were put on Israel when they came out of Egypt. He didn't keep any of those things. Well, we'll look at that here in just a minute, too. There are many things that are now new in the new covenant. We're going to look at one of those areas today. So what are the former things that have passed away in the old covenant? There are a number of things. We're going to hit on one area, but it actually overlaps into a number of things, which I'll bring out. And what are the things that have become new? And so regarding the old and the new, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, and look at one section today. There's a number of areas just in this verse, but we're going to look at the first thing that comes out of the writer's mouth in Hebrews. And it's important for us to know these things, to be able to explain these things. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. But now, this is the writer, he has obtained a more excellent ministry. Now, we're going to touch on the other things after this, but we're not going to do that today. So what I want to look at today is what the writer is saying, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry. Paul is talking to, I believe it's Paul, it's not told. When Paul died and when the book was written was about the time he died and when it was written. And you look through Hebrews and you see how Paul writes in the other epistles. He talks about law and he doesn't explain what law he's talking about. And he does the same thing. The same writer is doing the same thing in Hebrews. We don't see that in the other books. So we have a look at it's possibly Paul. Even though they say they're not sure who it is. And they also say, with a question mark, not sure exactly the exact date when he died, but it was before the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. And that is important as we look at this real quick. So we're going to look at today what is a more excellent ministry. Jesus Christ is a more excellent ministry than the Levitical priesthood, okay? So where did the term the new covenant originate? Okay, we could turn back to Jeremiah. We read that. I also touched on it in Hebrews. But Jeremiah, inspired by God, is the one who first talks about this new covenant. Here in Hebrews chapter 7, start in Hebrews 8, verse 7. For if that first, okay, Paul refers to that covenant, or the writer here. Sometimes I'll go back and forth. I want to try to say the writer. For it was that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second, because finding fault with them, and we explained that was the people. The fault was with the people. They could not keep the covenant, the vast majority. There was a handful that were able to do so with God's help through repentance. He says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. So this is a terminology of new covenant. A new covenant I'm going to make to help the people, because the Holy Spirit wasn't offered with the Levitical priesthood. It was only offered through Jesus Christ. And there's a process with that. And so the house of Israel with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. So he's talking about Israel. Because they did not continue, he says, they did not continue in my covenant. So there's no fault with his covenant. It's just the covenant that he made with them did not offer eternal life. It was physical blessings, which we'll talk about more later. And I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts through God's Holy Spirit. Be on our mind and we'll be able to internalize it, because we have a new high priest. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. God will put his Holy Spirit in them. That's the new covenant. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I'll remember no more because of repentance. Made possible through Jesus Christ. Here in verse 13, in that he says a new covenant, and the italics is added, but it's a new, it's a first. He will have made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. At this time of the writing, it had not vanished away yet. It was getting close. It didn't vanish away at Jesus Christ's death and resurrection in 31 AD. Between 31 and AD and up till the temple was destroyed, the sacrifices were still being offered. A lot of these rituals were still being done. So that's why when you go into all the epistles of Paul, he wrote all this before this was 100% put away. And that's why he talks about law and can be sometimes, many times confusing unless you're breaking down that law. What he's talking about. Because it does not say, it says that it has passed. It says, we will have made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready. It's ready to vanish away. This book was written probably in the 60 AD, mid-60s AD, somewhere in there. Temple wasn't destroyed until 70 AD. So those offerings were still being offered, and a lot of these things that we see that is no longer needed today, Christ has become the new, as it says here, has become a more excellent ministry. So what will be obsolete? What is growing old and ready to vanish? And then we're going to look at what is new. In the old or first covenant, most think that the writings, the law, the prophets have become obsolete. Those things are old and have vanished, and the New Testament writings are what is new. Well, we're going to see that that is not accurate. Because remember that many New Testament writings use scriptures of the Old Testament. They bring it together to tie things in. The New Testament writers don't eliminate the Old Testament writings. So many times you see in italics where they reference that. So which is better? So what is better? What is better and new and improved in the New Covenant? And what is old and for us has vanished away in the Mount Sinai Covenant? We see here in going back, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry. If we go back to Exodus 28, just to get a background here, Exodus 28, you see that here the service of ministry is of the priests relative to the prayers and sacrifices offered to God. They were instructed. God had put it in his covenant what he expected of Israel. This was not in the covenant that he made with Abraham. Abraham still kept God's law. But this was things added that pointed to Jesus Christ. Exodus 28, verses 1 through 4. Let's just see what God commands here. He's telling Moses, now take Aaron, your brother, and his sons. Now, this is from the tribe of Levi. The tribe of Levi. Abraham is of the tribe of Judah. Or the descendants, you know, Jesus Christ, Judah, David, Judah, the seed. Now, take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as a priest. Again, minister here is prayers and sacrifices offered to God through the Levitical priesthood. And he may minister me as priest, Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for holy, for glory and for beauty. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as a priest. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate of an ephod, a robe, skillfully woven, a tunic, a turban, and a sash. So they shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons, that he may minister to me as priest. All those things parallel to Jesus Christ, what we are to be. Okay, so we see that this was a command. This was a law that God had put in place for the Levitical priesthood. And there's times when Paul talks about the law, and that's what he's referring to. And we see that, and we'll see that the Aaron priesthood, and we know that today, was to be replaced with a more excellent ministry. Not the law, not God's laws, but the laws pertaining to the Levitical priesthood. So, what is a more excellent ministry? Now, Jesus Christ tells us throughout Scripture that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and that, you know, eternal life is through him, that the sheep will enter through his door. He is the door. Many scriptures. But let's turn over to Hebrews, since we want to look at Paul's writings. What is a more excellent ministry? Hebrews chapter 7. So here, I want to drop down to verse 28 first. For the writer saying, what law? Well, God created the law that the priests are part of, supposed to be the Levitical priesthood, to help the Israelites, point them to obey God's law. And that law is an analogy to Jesus Christ. So it says, for the law appoints as high priests men who have weaknesses. So it's pointing to the Levitical priesthood. But the word of the oath, what's the word of the oath? Oh, God has said that he is going to have a son, which came after the law, after the Levitical priesthood. He's the new high priest, appoints the son who has been perfected forever. So that word there, if you want to make a note in, is not about doing away with God's law. It's just talking about the Levitical priesthood is being replaced by Jesus Christ. And there are many reasons for that, but let's drop up to verse 22. But so much more, Jesus has become a surety or a guarantee of a better covenant. We've been talking about that. The first covenant, you could not, through the law, become like God, have our nature changed. The law didn't save them, as we will see here. But also many priests, because they were prevented by death from continuing. Also, there were many priests. They're physical, and they had to keep being added and added because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, Jesus Christ, because he continues forever as an unchangeable priesthood, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who came to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. And we heard Mr. Babb give us the message on the tearing of the veil a couple weeks ago. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices. See, that's what it's talking about. First, for his own sins, that's what Aaron had to do, and then for the people, for this he did once for all when he offered up himself, for the law appoints a high priest. That's what God did, as we just read over in Exodus chapter 28. And if we back up, we see that the law can't save us. Verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect. Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 7, the first part here talks about the King of Righteousness, and my Bible is labeled that. 7, verse 1 through 10, talks about Melchizedek, King of Salem, talks about Abraham and the relationship that Abraham had, and the Levitical priesthood was not in Abraham's time. But Abraham kept the law. We read in Genesis chapter 26, 5, God says, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments and my statutes and my laws. That was a covenant that God had made with Abraham. So let's just drop down to verse 11. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood... Perfection is not through the Levitical priesthood. For under it, the people received the law. What further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? So it's talking about a better priesthood. And if Jesus Christ is the new priest, we don't need the Levitical priesthood anymore. That is what is vanishing. That is what is old. That is what is passing away. It's being talked about in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13. For the priesthood being changed of necessity, there is also a change of the law. Well, what law is it being talked about? We don't need the Levitical priesthood. We need Jesus Christ for salvation. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe. Jesus Christ is a tribe of Judah, not Levi. From which no man has officiated at the altar. See, no one from Judah has officiated at the Levitical priesthood. Let's read a few more verses. For this is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who has come, not according to that law, the Levitical priesthood, of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So we see it's talking about this, the priesthood. It was needed. It was effective, but the people just didn't obey it, and they were not offered eternal life. We have a wonderful calling right now. So... I think I had all right. So what is a more excellent ministry? I just had point number one, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a more excellent ministry over the Levitical priesthood. And regarding to what is a more excellent ministry, number two, he's a perfect tabernacle. A spiritual tabernacle made with spiritual promises. Hebrews chapter 9, let's read some verses over there. Starting in verse 11, we see what that Levitical priesthood did. But Jesus came as high priest, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. Of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle. It wasn't made with hands. The first covenant was made with hands, made out of, you know, go back into the first books and will tell us over there in Exodus, Leviticus, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place. See, there was a process where Aaron, once a year, in atonement, entered the Holy of Holies. offered goats, bulls. He had to cleanse himself first and then for the people. And then when that sacrifice was offered, the sins were forgiven in ignorance, and probably just for a split second, they were back to their nature, sinning again. It's pointing to Jesus Christ, having a relationship. See, people could not go into the Holy of Holies and have a relationship with God. We can do that anytime as we surrender and obey God. Once for all, having obtained eternal redemption, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling and the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, and that's what they did. You go back and look what they did and what they had to do, what God instructed them to do under the Levitical priesthood, his law for them, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So it's through Jesus Christ that our conscience can be cleared. For this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death. He died, was resurrected. We too die to our old self, and we're resurrected. Hands laid on us, have God's Holy Spirit, and we continue living to God and keep repenting, trying to do better, having a relationship with one another and with God. For the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of what? Eternal life. Eternal life. Point number three, regarding what is a more excellent ministry through Jesus Christ, and I'm going to list some of those things. There's no way I can list them all. We'll talk more about them in future messages. God erected the spiritual tabernacle. Again, we just read, a tabernacle not made with hands. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Now this is the point. This is the point, is what the writer is saying. This is the point, what I'm talking to you about. Of the things we are saying, we have such a high priest, referring to Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. He's the new high priest. And so Paul is explaining this. He's been explaining all these to the congregations as the Levitical priesthood was still going on at that time. Ceremonial washings. And verse 13, he says, in that he says a new covenant, he will have made the first obsolete. That's what that first covenant, that Levitical priesthood, it's going to be obsolete because there's a new high priest. That's what we're talking about today. And that's part of what this is being talked about. It's becoming obsolete and growing old and is ready. It's ready to vanish away once the temple is destroyed in 70 AD. They'll no longer be able to. That is done. It's gone. This is what he was explaining to them. Because I'll just read to you again, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you've been baptized, you received the Holy Spirit, you have him as your high priest, and through his blood, your sins will be forgiven. Through his stripes, you can be healed, have a relationship with one another. And as we follow to be humble like Jesus Christ humbled himself, he suffered, and through his shedding of his blood, our sins can be forgiven. He can help us through repentance, through his resurrection. So what is changing and what is growing old? Let's turn over to one more section of scripture as we begin to wrap this up. Hebrews chapter 9, what is changing and what is growing old? It just confirms it over here in Hebrews chapter 9. Well, let's start in 1 through 5. And indeed, then the first covenant had ordinances of divine service in the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, The first part in which was the lampstand. We don't have a lampstand in here. These are things that are no longer needed in the new covenant. The table, the showbread, which is called the sanctuary, and behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which has the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant, and above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. And then he says, of these things we cannot now speak in detail. And let's continue in verse 6, go through 6 through 10. Now these things had been thus prepared. The priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing these services, but into the second part the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings, and the fleshly ordinances, those things that were added along the way, as we talked about tassels last week or the week before, imposed until the time of Reformation. So we see that certain things don't have to be involved regarding the Levitical priesthood. So what is new? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. That is new in the new covenant. What is old? The blood of bulls and goats, the animals. That's not used anymore. What is new? Jesus Christ is now high priest. He is our sacrifice. He became the sacrifice. What is old? The physical tabernacle was made with hands, the Levitical priesthood. We just went through that. What is new? The perfect tabernacle that was not made with hands, it's eternal in the heavens. Again, what else is new? We have a direct relationship with God through repentance. A tabernacle, again, made without hands. What is new? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master, our High Priest and our King, intercedes between God and those who want to become new by getting rid of the old self. The law shows us how we fall short and need. We need help. We need forgiveness of sin. Jesus Christ is there to wash it away. Levitical priesthood could not wash sins away. Levitical priesthood could not help with the power of the Holy Spirit. But the law was still kept before this from the very beginning. What is new? He's our mediator, our intercessor, our redeemer. No beginning of days or end of life. What else is new? Our high priest, who never sinned, set more excellent examples for us how we can obtain being like him and our Father. What else is new? Our high priest can provide spiritual blessings that lead to eternal life. That's all new from the first covenant. Today we're talking about a more excellent ministry is in the new covenant that was not in the first covenant. But we paralleled the old to the new today. He is the most excellent high priest. But the more excellent and new ministry with Jesus Christ as our high priest, we can surrender our will and stir up the Holy Spirit as we're able. We are able and we must become like Jesus Christ. That is our calling. And if we fall short of that, if our desire is to still hold on to this world, God says no. It's a full surrender. And through Jesus Christ, we go to him and say we fall short and we need help. And then we put that help into practice, into our lives. Because in the new covenant, we've been given direct access to the Father through our high priest to help us do what? To overcome our weaknesses. We're weak in obeying the law. So we need forgiveness of sin. And Jesus Christ does that. So I encourage you all. I encourage you all. As I had in the greetings letter, someone quickly responded to me last night after I sent it out. They said, how sad it is that we have to be reminded to love one another. And they also said, but you know what? This is something that I'm still working on, that I still need to feel comfortable among the congregation. Brethren, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to be love. We need to have Christ living in us so that the whole world can see that we as the body of Christ are there for one another, willing to suffer. We have all these people that are hurting physically. Do we hurt? Do we physically hurt when someone in the body is hurting? Do we physically hurt when someone is not spiritually living up to the standards that God has required? Paul said, Paul fought. It was all about serving, making sure people were ready that could internalize God's ways and quit being selfish. Be a sacrifice. That's what we've been called to do, to dig deep, to be loving, to be caring. Not just on the surface, but internalize it through a relationship. If we're leaving out Jesus Christ as our Savior, going before him and helping, asking for help to overcome our weaknesses, we won't be love. We won't be able to implement that new commandment that we're able to put into work. Yes, it takes work, as Mr. Tuck mentioned in the announcements, or Mr. Resenta said in this first message. But brethren, I encourage you, I beseech you, and myself included, to keep fighting our weaknesses. Jesus Christ is our strength. He is the more excellent ministry. He's Jesus the Christ who loved us and expects us to love like he loved. He is the one who's leading us to eternal life through repentance, brethren. Our sins can be forgiven and we can be made whole. We can be cleansed spiritually. We don't need to be wearing all those garments and washing and the cleansing and ceremonies. We can be cleansed through Jesus Christ. He is the more excellent ministry established in the new covenant. So I wanted to highlight and I wanted to hit the ministry part. Jesus Christ as our high priest over the priesthood and the Levitical priesthood. The Levitical priesthood, that is old. That is vanishing away. It is no longer needed. Paul is telling the converts who have a new covenant contract, but they're probably still going to the temple. So when he refers to this word law, we're going to break it down. We're going to dig deep into these things. But there are more things that are talked about in Hebrews chapter 8 that we'll dig into in regards to what is old and now what is new. So we talked about the first part regarding the priesthood.